Lead us not into temptation. Today we come to the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. And I thought this was an entirely appropriate message for us as a congregation as we prepare to come to the Lord's table today. I would remind you that in the Reformation, there was a keen concern that the sacrament not be seen as a substitute for the word. That the sacrament is what it is because of the word. Indeed, it's the words that Jesus spoke that are recorded for us in the Bible that differentiate the Lord's Supper from any other memorial or any other party or any other ceremony that we have. It's what Jesus said when he held the bread that makes it significant. Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink from it in remembrance of me. It's the words that bring new covenant meaning to the sacraments. And so there's a close connection between the word preached and the administration of the sacraments. And there's really nothing more appropriate for us to consider today than this sixth petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. My prayer is today that we can pray diligently the sixth petition, which helps us to stand in the face of evil. Evil is real. Evil is all around us. Sometimes it's the in-your-face wickedness that causes your heart to revolt. But I want to remind you today that in 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan is referred to as an angel of light. Temptation is a seduction or an allurement of Satan, who appears as an angel of light. When temptation comes, we are pressed into either dying to ourselves and being faithful to God, or dying to God and being faithful to ourselves. Satan, the world, and the flesh are ready to powerfully draw us and ensnare us. Today, I want you to be armed with an understanding of evil and the four backstops that God has provided in prayer to, quote, deliver us from evil. And here I'd like you to note that there's two words there in your notes in brackets, the word the and the word one with a capital O. The first one is there in the Greek. So literally in Greek it says deliver us from the evil. And there's an ongoing discussion among translators. Is this a reference to evil as an immaterial idea, or is this a reference to Satan? So one group of translators says, well, it's a reference to the idea of evil, so we're going to drop the article. And I say, well, then why is the article there in Greek? But the word one is not there. So so my tendency, as I've worked with this week, is to say I think the best translation is deliver us from the evil one. That is, deliver us from Satan, from all of his wiles and seductions. Satan is a real evil entity. He's a real created being that is in rebellion against God. And this is the one who is the ultimate source behind every temptation that we face. So let's look at our text today in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And then I love that this is the very next verse. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I want to explore today this idea of temptation, that in fact, there are backstops against temptation all along the way. And we want to see that sometimes God decrees. It's not merely that he passes by. It's not an action like this, but it's more like God decrees that we go through a season of temptation. And what makes temptation so hard is that we're not nearly as tough. We're not nearly as spiritual as we think we are. So there's four prayers I want to lay before you today as kind of a fleshing out. Remember, we don't simply want to pray the Lord's Prayer. We do want to do that. But it's not simply the words, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But it's that we're learning over this series to pray through the Lord's Prayer. And so what I hope I can do today is sort of amplify my understanding of this sixth petition. And to help you when you come to this, to have a little bit of a grid to think through. And that's what we have before us today. So point number one, Lord, keep us from temptation. The place where we ought to start and the place where the greatest battle lies is that we see ourselves as separate from the world. The one who is separate from the world prays zealously, Lord, keep us from temptation. The book of Proverbs describes a foolish man. He was walking down the street near her corner. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, when out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. If the man hadn't been in the place where he was, if he had been praying, Lord, keep us from temptation, and recognizing the place of temptation, the patterns of temptation, then he would have never run across this woman that wound up being his downfall. In Revelation 18, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle John hears another voice from heaven calling out, come out of her, my people, lest you partake in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Come out from her. Be separate. We need to see the call that we have from God to be separate from the world. And make no mistake, friends, no one is tempted by God. God does not tempt anyone. The book of James, chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, makes it crystal clear where temptation comes from. Each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away. This is a picture of our slavery to sin and enticed. This is the picture of that seduction and that allurement of temptation. This is why in Psalm 19, the psalmist says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. The first backstop of sin is to pray zealously, Lord, keep us from temptation. Consider what this looks like. It means walking with godly people. To walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but to have our delight be in the law of the Lord, and to meditate on His law day and night. Psalm 1. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is one of those classic texts. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape. And this leads us to the second point this morning. Because there are times when God allows us, or even we need to say clearly, God decrees that we would enter into a place or a season of temptation. It's something maybe we didn't plan, but suddenly there is temptation before us. So, lead us not in temptation, but Lord, if you do, point number two, support and enable us in temptation. We can pray this with confidence because God is everywhere in Scripture teaching us about the power of His presence and His help. Ephesians 3, verse 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge." Can you hear the sufficiency of God's support, His enabling power and grace at work in the life of a believer? Oh, friends, even if you find yourself in the midst of temptation, even if it's a temptation you've fallen into again and again, cry out for God's help. He will support you and enable you in temptation. 1 Thessalonians 3:13 says that Christ may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a blessing from God. Paul is saying, we're praying that we can come to you again so that Christ may establish your hearts blameless. If you see yourself as separate from the world, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. No man can serve two masters. Are you with Christ, or are you enslaved to the world, the flesh, and the devil? Are you walking in darkness? Then, oh friends, if you are in Christ and you're struggling in the midst of temptation, and see God's provision for you. If you will, your spiritual nutrition to strengthen you to continue to walk faithfully even when the temptations come. So Lord, keep us from temptation. Support and enable us in temptation. And this leads us now to the third point this morning. Because there are times when we fall. Point three, restore us from a fall into temptation. Restore us from a fall into temptation. So notice here in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. We think that our temptations are unique. I know I do. I'm like, oh, there can't be anybody else that struggles with this, therefore I have to keep it a secret. Then I begin to realize, oh, like Satan is not that ingenious. There are 10 basic temptations that we struggle with. It may look a little different depending on your age, depending on your heritage, we were just talking about earlier, depending, you know, there's differences. But temptations are common to man. And friends, what that means is that even when we fall into temptation, God's people, God's word, God's spirit are present with us, even in a fall. And the question is, are we willing to repent? First to God, and then to one another. When we fall into sin, it's not the end. God does not abandon his children, even when they fall hard into temptation. This is one of the reasons that God gives us the visible church. This is one of the reasons you have close friends in this church. And when that time comes, when you have fallen into temptation, the Bible says, confess your sins to one another. Confess them to God, of course, but recognize that part of the restoration when we fall into temptation is to move from the deceitfulness of sin into the clarity of God's truth, God's perspective on that sin or that temptation. 1 Peter 5 has the Apostle Peter is dealing with this subject when he says in 1 Peter 5 verses 8 through 10, he says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And then listen to this. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, will himself restore you and confirm you and strengthen you and establish you. Even when you've fallen into the trial and into the hardship, God will restore us from a fall into temptation. There's some other verses that I have there, but those are the ones that I wanted to emphasize this morning. And that leads us then to the fourth point, and this is a more general point, but it's one that is very important. And that is that when we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we are praying that God would free us from all temptation and evil forever. And here's where we want to anticipate with joy the marriage supper of the Lamb, when Christ finally comes again to consummate his kingdom. For those who are struggling with temptation, the good news is that the day is coming when you will not be able to sin, because you will be glorified if you are in Christ. And so don't let temptation govern you. You are no longer part of this world if you are in Christ. Recognize the cheap and tacky efforts of a deceiver. Oh, he's an angel of light, but if you pull back the curtain, you'll find there's a little creature, not a creator, but a little creature who's trying to pretend like he's a god. And that his temptations bring death and discouragement and loneliness and pain. Oh, he promises the world, Bow down before me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world if you will bow down before me. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And Satan leaves him. And then the angels come and minister to him. Friends, we need to see that we are not adequate to destroy evil. That evil is present in the world. And this is why we need to go back to the beginning. And we need to flee temptation. When temptation comes upon us, remember when Joseph was there in the house of Potiphar, and this seductive woman tore away his jacket. What did he do? He did not stand there and try to reason with her. He fled from temptation. O Lord, set no unclean thing before my eyes. I will walk in my palace with integrity. The Psalms are full of this. How shall a young man cleanse his way? Let him with care your word obey. With all my heart I seek for you. From your commands I will not stray. We need to recognize that we live in between our salvation and our glorification. That something radical has happened to true believers. And if that has not happened to you, then you know it. When the preaching of God's word comes, there is a call to acknowledge your sin to God. And more, I'm thinking about this, friends. To acknowledge your sin to yourself. It seems that we live in a world that's governed by feelings. And we're not willing to deal with the hard realities of sin. And so we lie to ourselves. I've heard it. Well, I'm a good person. Okay, so why are you doing bad things? Well, you know, these are the things that we need to wrestle with. And this is where the gospel teaches us to see the reality of our fall. And to see the sufficiency of God's grace. So we turn here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a wonderful passage where the Apostle Paul is speaking of what is to come. Listen to this. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Or also this verse in Romans chapter 16 comes right at the end of the book of Romans. We're studying that in our congregation right now. It says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We need to see the hope that we have in the world that's to come. Jesus says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That is this present gospel age in which we live. And there's another age that's to come. That is when the kingdom is consummated and when Christ dwells in the midst of his people. It's what that tabernacle of the Old Testament where all of the tents of Israel were arranged in relation to the tabernacle, the place that contained the throne of God. That's a picture of what's to come. I will dwell with you in your midst, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. So friends, when we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we work to pray through this, Lord, keep us away from temptation. Give us wisdom to see the places, the struggles where the patterns where temptation comes and the struggle happens. Keep us from that. Even when we do face temptation, to stand firm and remember the presence of Christ. He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken to stand in the midst of temptation. But friends, for me, the place where God was really working in my heart this week is in this third point today. That is, even when we fall, if we will not allow our minds to be warped into Satan's way of thinking about our sin. And here's how you'll know if you're there. You want to hide it? You want to deny it? You want to pretend like everything's okay? If you're willing to be honest about sin, if you're willing to acknowledge your sin, if you're willing to repent in a word, then God is teaching us here to pray. Deliver us from the evil that has crept in. From the evil one who has seduced us. Lord, restore us from a fall into temptation. And then finally, this is the great prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. Satan will be crushed. Evil will be no more. There will be no more death or crying or pain because the former things have passed away. Therefore we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'd like to conclude by reading for you a portion of the Larger Catechism, question 195. What do we pray for in the sixth petition? Listen for these four points this morning. In the sixth petition, we pray that God would so overrule the world and all in it, subdue the flesh and restrain Satan, and order all things, and quicken us to watchfulness in the use of all means of grace, that we and all his people may be kept from being tempted to sin. Or, if tempted, that by his Spirit we may be powerfully supported and enabled to stand in the hour of temptation. Or, when fallen, be raised again and recovered out of temptation, and have a sanctified use and improvement of it. And number four, that our sanctification and salvation may be perfected, that Satan would be trodden under our feet, and that we would be fully free from sin, temptation, and all evil forever. Oh, friends, may that be for us. I'd like to conclude today, 1 Corinthians 10:14. Therefore, my beloved, keep yourselves from idolatry. We can focus on the evil, the damage that idolatry does. Today, I want to just encourage you. If you find yourself with affections for created things that are distracting you from true affections for your Creator, then turn. Turn to the place where God feasts with his people and let your affections for Christ be fired today, nurtured today. Let your Savior woo you, because he will not lead you into temptation. He will lead you into life. Let's close in prayer. O Lord our God, we pray that as we come to your table, Lord, you would teach us the antidote for temptation. That, Lord, you would give us that hunger for righteousness, that desire, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. We pray, Lord, that you would draw us through the means of grace, including this supper, the Lord's Supper, that, Lord, you would nourish us, that we might walk faithfully in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in the midst of what our confession calls the wilderness of this life. Lord, there are times when the sun is out and the birds are chirping, and there are days that are dark, and the thunder rolls. And Lord, we face the trials of life. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we come to the Lord's table today, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to Psalm 108. Psalm 108, selection C. And this is a prayer that I think is very appropriate for those who face temptation. And as we come to the table, we can pray this today. With steadfast heart, O God, my soul will sing your praise. And then on down, it speaks of God delivering us by his strong right hand. In stanza 5, that your beloved ones' deliverance may see. O save us, whether it's from the presence of temptation, or whether it's from the power of temptation, or whether it's from the consequences of temptation. O save us by your strong right hand. And here's our hope, friends. Answer me in mercy. God delights to do that to those who acknowledge their sins to him and flee to Christ. Let's stand and we'll sing Psalm 108C, but ask the elders to come forward during the singing.
Save us, O Lord.